The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 46 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast with me, Stephen Mill, and him, Ewan Cameron. Ewan, we've had some more good feedback.
Have we?
Yes, we have. So upon finding out that this podcast is finishing for the summer, Seamus McElhaney says on Twitter, "That's a pity."
That's positive.
Well, sadly for Seamus, that is true. And it is true. This is the final podcast of this season.
How long are we off for?
Probably about 5 weeks, something like that.
So podcast is off for 5 weeks?
Something like that. I haven't done the maths around it.
There were a number of fans of the podcast who wanted us to stay on for the summer to talk about transfers and what was going on with the clubs behind the scenes and pre-season and all that.
We could do a couple of transfer specials if we run out of money. We could do that.
We'll need to build up our bank balance anyway, because we want to go to Germany next year to see Scotland play at the European Championships.
Because Scotland are 98% going to Euro 2024. In fact, I think it's even more than that. I think it's 99.6% our chances are of qualifying for the Euros next year.
And how did you work that one out?
I think it's from the bookies.
Is it based on what other teams are going to be doing against each other?
Yeah. So basically, I don't know exactly, but if we beat Cyprus and Spain beat Georgia and then Georgia and Norway draw,
we're
that's
done.
Us qualified.
Amazing. I mean, we're going anyway.
We are going, and I've already booked my flights.
You booked your flights after the Norway game. You were that confident.
I booked my flights in the 92nd minute of the Norway game, because I was like, these flights are going to go up, Anna, get this booked right now. So that's exactly what I did, honestly. I'd looked at it before, because if you're listening to the Big Saturday Summer Show, which is on during the summer, instead of the Big Saturday Football Show, we were speaking about this during the game, and we both were like, oh, no, I didn't want to click confirm like on the flights, just in case we jinx it. And then obviously when Norway were leading 1-0, I was like, that looks like a good decision.
Can I be honest with you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how we were on the radio on Saturday there?
Yeah.
And we were both booking our flights to Germany, and I couldn't book my flight to Germany. Do you want to know why I couldn't book my flight to Germany?
I could hazard a guess, because if you heard any of this chat, any purchases over £20 in Ewan's family needs to go through his wife, Teresa.
And she needs to give approval.
Ewan doesn't have a card.
Right, no, but I had a credit card. I showed you the credit card that I had with me on Saturday. So that credit card I activated online. Mm-hmm. And I went to use it, but I was discussing this on the radio with you on Saturday. So I was typing in the details, and it was on the radio. So my wife was listening. And while my wife was listening to me going through the process of booking a flight to Germany, she cancelled the card. That's why I couldn't book the flight. I couldn't understand why the credit card wasn't working. She actually cancelled the card and stopped me booking a flight to Germany.
And now it's going to cost about four times as much. So who's the fool here, Teresa?
Exactly, Teresa. And I'll tell you another thing. I'm expecting the bosses here at Bauer Media to take us to Germany anyway.
Oh, so I think we'll be there.
So I don't need to pay for it then.
Yeah.
I'm expecting the bosses and the work to pay for us to go, including yourself, so you can get your money back from what you've already put out. Also, producer Dan, who's with us today on the podcast, you can come to Germany as well, mate. I mean, why wouldn't you want to go to Germany? Because Scotland are going to be there. Everybody will want to be there.
So I was there last night at a drenched Hampden, which we'll get to more in just a wee second. It was my wife's first ever Scotland game I took her to, and she was like, "Is it like this all the time?" And I'm like, no, it's not like this all the time. I'm like, I want to go home, honestly.
It's a game she'll never forget.
Absolutely. I mean, just an absolutely wild night at Hampden. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Norway game on Saturday as well. And of course, Scotland has welcomed back a beautiful human being in Brendan Rodgers. He has been reappointed as Celtic manager, and we'll go through your shouts for the final If Scottish Football Was a Heatwave, how ironically. So please go and find us, the Big Scottish Football Podcast on Twitter. It is at Big Football Scott. That is how you follow us. You can get us on Instagram and Facebook as well. Just search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast and make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so it drops into your inbox, and you can give us 5 stars if you fancy as well. Right, where do you want to start? Do you want to start chronologically, or do you want to start last night?
I think we just talk about it as a whole,
in the round.
And I mean, let's just talk about Scotland in general.
Okay, right. I'll kick off. I think Scotland are really, really, really going places under Steve Clarke. I think he's got them playing excellently. I think we look like a good, solid unit. We've got some cracking players. I think if I was being really, really, really nitpicky, and this is no downer on Lyndon Dykes or Shea Adams, I think if we had a top, top quality striker like a Haaland or a Lewandowski in his day or something, we'd be a danger when it comes to major tournaments.
Turn that music down. If we had a Haaland in our team, we win the Euros.
This is quite the turnaround from you, Ewan Cameron.
Don't you start on that nonsense from last year.
This is quite
Don't you start that nonsense.
I'm just going to do it once.
I'm tired of people on Twitter reminding me of what I said about Steve Clarke last summer.
So, are you ready? Listen, that's fine.
Don't you dare ask me to apologise.
I'm not going to drag it up.
No, you clearly are, because I'm not going to apologise. So if you're going to ask me to apologise to Steve Clarke for getting it quote-unquote wrong, I'm not, because he did get it wrong.
I'm not going to say that. Right. What I'm going to say is, were you wrong overall about Steve Clarke? No. Because he's turned it round.
I was right last year when we lost to Ukraine ahead of the World Cup, and we lost to Ireland as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost to Ireland 3-0 and badly.
And of course,
I was hurt.
Yep.
As a Scotland fan, yep. I was hurt. I was deeply angry and upset because I desperately wanted that game in Qatar against England. I thought, what a chance we've got. The best chance we've ever had to get to a World Cup since 1998. And I thought Steve Clarke messed up spectacularly at Hampden. So I was hurt, I was angry, and I said a lot of things that, when you look back, might have been a wee bit out of order. But I'm a football man, I'm a passionate guy, and there's only a couple of times in my life where I have cried at a football match. One was when we got beat from England 2-0 mm-hmm. at Wembley during Euro 96. I cried that day. I also cried on the day that we lost to Italy 2-1. And that, again, torrential downpour at Hampden. Do you remember that day?
I do, I was there.
So I cried that day. I also cried when Hearts lost out in the league title in 1986, mm-hmm. 85, 86. That was
I was a kid.
I was a child at that particular time, but it was very upsetting. And I nearly cried last year when we lost to Ukraine. I mean, that hurt me badly. You wanted to go to the World Cup. You wanted to play England.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every football manager in their career will have a moment when they look back and go, oh, that is, it'll never go away, that pain of missing out in the World Cup. And that's Steve Clarke. That's what his thing will be in his international career.
I said that at the start of this season. I said that Steve Clarke would look back and think, yeah, I got that one wrong.
Yeah.
But he's turned it round spectacularly.
Well, there's no getting away from the improvement in the team, and that's what I'm saying. And I know people are going to laugh at me, and they're going to be going, you're talking absolute shite. But I think we are one top-class striker away from being a contender, and if not, winning the European Championships. And the reason I say that, and before you laugh your heads off, let me take you back over the years in some major tournaments where teams, they're not expected to do well because they've got a great unit. They've got a great camaraderie. Greece in 2004 mm-hmm. didn't have an out-and-out striker. They were winning games 1-0 here, there and everywhere, but they were a unit, they were hard to beat, and they caught teams on the counter-attack. You look at South Korea in the 2002 World Cup and what they did. Unbelievable achievement.
A few dodgy refereeing decisions with that one as well.
Irrelevant. You need luck in this game as well. You look at Morocco at the World Cup just last year,
mm-hmm.
getting to semi-final. Again, they don't have an out-and-out striker. But if they had an out-and-out striker and a world-class striker, there's every chance they could have got to the final and won it. But again, they got to a semi-final. I think that Scotland, as it is right now, with the way that world football is, and you look at a lot of nations around the world who are on the slide, we're on the up, is teams like your Serbia's this world, your Norway's this world, your Denmark's this world, are possibly on the slide. Portugal as well, possibly. They've still got Ronaldo, and they won last night by a goal to nil with an 89th minute winner from Ronaldo. But I think Scotland are on the up. This team will only get better, and I agree with you. I think we're a striker away from being serious contenders for the Euros next year.
Now, I think you're getting.
Do we find that striker between them and next year? Is anyone?
No, I don't think there is, to be honest. Unless Kevin Nisbet really kicks on in the Championship next season, I can't really see it, to be honest with you. But Shea Adams is a decent player. Dykes has been tremendous in both these games. He's put in so much work, ran his socks off, and obviously got that crucial goal.
Can I disagree with you?
Mm-hmm.
See that game against Norway? I thought Dykes was pretty poor. But he scores the goal, and it kind of clouds over his poor performance overall. But it was a thankless task.
How good was Haaland on Saturday?
But we're not talking about him.
But what I'm saying is Haaland didn't have a particularly good game, but he scored, and everyone remembers that, and he won the penalty. But Haaland did nothing in the game. Haaland didn't do any more than what Dykes did.
My issue with Lyndon Dykes, and I agree with you, I think he has done a good job. He's not the best player in the Scotland squad. He's not the best striker in the squad, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think he's our best striker. I think Shea Adams is ahead of him. I'd even go to say that Kevin Nisbet, when he's fully fit and in top form, is ahead of him. And for me, Lauren Shankland's ahead of him, because I think they're better players overall. But what Dykes gives you is strength, somebody where you can go from back to front and you'll flick it on, etc., etc. So
he also works so hard. He covers a lot of ground.
Listen, he's great set pieces in the other opposition box.
He never gives the defenders a moment.
I get all that, but see, when you've got all your strikers fit, I don't think he's your starter. Is he your starter?
I think he kind of has to be.
Is he your number nine?
I would say so, yeah.
When Shea Adams is back fully fit, is Dykes your number nine?
I think Steve Clark's got a bit of a nice problem.
I'm not asking
here.
Steve Clark, I'm asking you.
No, but I'm explaining the issue. Because I think we look better when it's either Dykes up front with Christie playing off him or McGinn playing off him. And that means if you play McGinn a wee bit further forward, you can get Gilmore in midfield, which I think we really, really need.
He was man of the match last night.
I thought Gilmore was absolutely tremendous last night, and he did really well when he came on Saturday. So I think the team that started last night against Georgia won't be far away from the one that starts at the Euros next year.
So you'd go with Dykes?
I would go with Dykes, yes.
See, here's another thing, and this is because we're talking about Scotland in general sense of how we played over these last two games. We carried a bit of luck, right? Let's be honest about it. And I thought that Norway were the better team. If we're going to be brutally honest about it, I thought Norway were the better team, and we kind of carried a wee bit of luck.
It was a smash and grab, but Norway didn't do much.
No, I know, but
they had a really good chance in the first half with a header,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, Sørloth, yeah.
But again, did Angus Gunn have any big saves to make?
No, he didn't.
I don't think he did. I think the penalty was ludicrous. It was a ludicrous decision. The Jack Hendry one before it was more of a penalty.
And I think
that was in the referee's mind. The referee was shocking on Saturday. Absolutely honking.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely jonesing to give a penalty. As soon as Haaland went down, he was like... straight over. He couldn't have given the penalty quicker.
I know.
It was the softest penalty you've ever seen.
Actually missed the referee giving a penalty. It was that quick.
It was unbelievable.
But what I'm saying is, and Pep Guardiola says this, and they've just won a treble with Man City, he goes, any team that wins any title or any cup competition needs a bit of luck.
Of course.
So Scotland carried a bit of luck against Norway, and there's no doubt about
that. Inter Milan were the better team in the Champions League final against Manchester City, so it doesn't always work like that.
You carry a bit of luck, and I think that we carried that on Saturday against Norway. But what I'm going to say here, and what I was getting to, is that we became a much better unit when we went to a back four, because we pushed John McGinn up alongside Dykes, and it's John McGinn further forward that creates the mayhem that brings the two goals. If we don't go at a back four and he sticks to that back five, we don't beat Norway that day. I'm not going to go on about how I don't like the back five, etc., etc. We've done that.
We won last night.
I thought my point is this, Stephen.
Cyprus were back five.
Yeah, but they're nothing teams.
I was talking about Cyprus.
Aye. My point is this, Stephen, and you're not letting me finish my point before you jump in with your nonsense.
Right, finish your point.
My point is this.
What's your point?
Is that I think we showed far too much respect to Norway on Saturday because of Haaland. I think we looked at him and that was it. We had to do everything in our power to play defensive, play compact,
and
Odegaard
as well.
Yeah. But when we went to that back four, when we were 1-0 down, we were a much better team. We took the game to them and they didn't know what hit them. We were threatening. We were on the ball. We were passing it. John McGinn was finding himself in little pockets and was supporting Lyndon Dykes. And it's John McGinn that helps us to the two goals in that victory. So I thought we showed Norway a bit too much respect and we got away with it. Brilliant. Delighted. Fantastic. I thought last night, I thought we showed a wee bit too much respect for Georgia again with the formation and the setup.
What are you wanting? What you keep talking about, Sean? What you want them to spit in the players' faces? What sort of respect are we talking about here?
But we thoroughly deserved it last night. Georgia are no great side, and do you know what really annoyed me in the build up to this game? The amount of people that were saying, "Oh, Georgia, 9 games unbeaten."
What?
Rory Hamilton on Viaplay made Georgia sound like as if we were up against Brazil.
They've only lost one game of their last 15 before last night.
Have you seen the results and who they played against?
Beat Sweden, beat Norway.
No, they drew with Norway. They've beaten in the last couple of years. See, when it comes to Nations League, right, this is why I love the Nations League, because teams are now up against teams of the similar level. They've beaten Gibraltar, Mongolia, Albania, they beat Mongolia 6-1. They beat
I've got the results here in front of me. So they beat Cyprus, they drew in Norway.
Yeah.
They beat Mongolia 6-1, as you rightly point out. They beat Gibraltar, they beat North Macedonia, they drew with Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Beat North Macedonia away.
Yeah.
Beat Bulgaria away.
Yeah.
Beat Gibraltar.
But they're all teams in their level, which is brilliant, which is what makes the Nations League really good.
Beat Bosnia, beat Sweden, beat Kosovo.
Doesn't matter. Luxembourg beat Bosnia last night. It doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that we were building Georgia up to be something that they were not, because the stat looked good. They've not played anybody.
Yeah.
And I thought that Scotland dominated last night, and I had no fear whatsoever. I thought we were going to win, and we won, and we won comfortably.
See, after we actually got the game underway again, I was like, this team are rotten.
They're
like,
poor.
Like Georgia were poor.
Yeah.
Scotland were in complete control of that match. We'll get to the rain in just a wee second. But overall, just to wrap this up, we've got 12 points after 4 matches of our qualifying campaign. First time that's ever happened. This is beyond our wildest dreams. We're literally one win away and another result from getting to the Euros.
And not only that, Stephen, we already had a plan B because we're in the playoffs.
Because we're in the playoffs, yeah.
We're in the playoffs, but we won't need that now.
And at the start of this, you said, and I think many other people said, that this is a really tough group that we've got.
I think everyone looked at it on paper.
Steve Clark said he thought it was the toughest group of the lot. He would say that, but we've absolutely smashed everything away that's come near us. Yes, we've still got 3 away games to come and then the home game against Norway to finish, but if somebody had said, all you need to do is beat Cyprus away from home and you've qualified for the Euros, you'd absolutely snap their entire arm off for that.
I said at the start of this campaign, in those first 4 games, I said if we could get 8 points, that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like draw against Spain at home and draw against Norway away, and it still keeps it in our hands. No, we're going to do better than that. We're going to beat them all. I mean, unbelievable. So yeah, 12 points out of 12.
You know what has annoyed me though? So I tweeted out that I'd booked my flights and all the rest of it on Saturday, and I noticed even last night in reply to some of the comments about, oh, how amazing it was last night, the atmosphere and us almost being at the Euros, some of the negativity around it is still like, oh, but you know what Scotland are like. I mean, only Scotland could balls it up for here. No, get that shite in the bin.
Yeah.
I hate that chat. It's just, oh, it's Scotland, you know, we'll balls up, we always do. Well, I tell you what, why don't we just turn that around and think, nah, we're not going to balls it up.
But we're not.
We're not.
We're not.
We're going to qualify.
There was a lot of that after the game against Norway. When I tweeted after the game against Norway, Germany, here we come, Euro 2024, this is it. We're all going. We're booking flights. The amount of people that replied going, you watch, we're going to lose home and away to Georgia.
You know what will happen in Scotland? You know, if there's a way to bugger it up, then it'll be Scotland that manages to do it, you know? Fuck off. Just fuck off. Honestly. folk who live in the past. We're talking about the future, we're talking about the present. And listen, we're not getting carried away, but on a completely...
Wait, we're not getting carried away. I've just said we're one striker away from winning it.
But on a completely unrelated note, here are the top tourist attractions in Germany. So, the Berlin Wall, obviously the monument of the Cold War in Germany. It runs through the heart of the capital, a must-see, apparently.
Okay.
We've got the Cologne Cathedral in Cologne, or if you're Derek Ray, Cologne, built over 600 years ago. It's an iconic church. It's the seat of the Archbishop of Cologne. So apparently it's stunning. So if we're in Cologne, that would be nice to go and see.
Who in the Tartan Army is going to be spending their day going to a cathedral?
So in Munich, we've got the Marienplatz. It's the hub of culture and tourism. It's been the city's main square since 1158.
Oh, well, congregate in a square.
Exactly, yes. In Frankfurt, we've got the Alto Oper. It's a concert hall which was built in the wake of the Second World War after the original opera hall was destroyed by bombing. And one for you, Ewan Cameron, as well. We've got the Berghain nightclub. It's an iconic techno venue. I believe it's in Berlin. And it's, according to its own website, got some kinky overtones.
I think I know the nightclub you're talking about. Because I've got a couple of gay pals who love going to Berlin, right? They spend many a weekend in Berlin over the course of a year. And I think they have talked about that kinky nightclub with some kinky overtures that go on. Berlin loves sex.
Yeah.
If you want sex, you go to Berlin. So my gay pals tell me.
Have you been to Berlin?
I've never been to Berlin, no.
You've been to Germany?
I've been to Germany, but I was there with Celtic when they played Bayern Munich, so it was kind of like flying and fly, but I've never been to Germany on a holiday. I've never spent any time there visiting the place.
Typical Ewan Cameron, always following his team around Europe. You know what he's like. Ewan with an H. Ewan Cameron.
So yeah, I was there with Gordon Strachan and Celtic. What year would that have been?
Gordon Strachan and Celtic? It would have been between 2000 and...
Bayern Munich. Celtic played Bayern Munich. I'm sure Gordon Strachan was a manager.
2005 to 2009.
Was Bayern Munich? I'm asking Dan because he's a Celtic fan.
Yeah, O'Neill.
No, it wasn't Martin O'Neill. Was it?
Yeah.
Was it Martin O'Neill with Bayern Munich?
You just keep talking. I'm just going to go and grab something, right? I'll be back in a minute.
Go and do a wee Google search on that for me, mate. Because Celtic Bayern Munich, I flew. I thought it was Gordon Strachan that was in the plane with me. You tell me it's Martin O'Neill, because I was travelling around with Rangers and Celtic in over those what 5, 6, 7 years, and I remember going to Munich. And oh, am I getting mixed up with the European when you played AC Milan? When you played
AC? Not in Germany.
Was that when Kaká scored when it was 1-0? Was that Strachan? Right, so when was Bayern Munich Celtic?
2003.
Was that O'Neill? Mm-hmm. Right, okay, so Martin O'Neill it was then. So yeah, I remember being in Munich for the Celtic game, and also I was in the San Siro when Kaká scored against Celtic as well. Stephen Mills back in the studio. But you know, it was Martin O'Neill, 2003 Bayern Munich, so I was in Germany for that game.
Cool.
So yeah, it's the only time I've been there.
So, let's talk about the weather last night. It was absolutely wild. And the reason I was running outside is we could have been doing with one of these last night.
Oh, yes. A rubber ducky.
I mean, it was ludicrous.
It was unreal.
So I was at the match last night, and before we scored, I was like, they're going to have to take the players off the pitch here. Like, what an... Like, it was a shambles. There's no way that football could have been played on that. As Ewan, clearly influenced by our Berlin chat, is tonguing the duck.
No, I never tongued it.
I wouldn't.
I open mouth kissed it.
Do you know where that's been?
That duck?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's been in some water.
Well, it's been in the office.
Oh, has it been in the office? On George Bowes about as well, isn't he?
Aye, exactly. You know what he does with ducks. I said before we scored, I was like, they need to take the players off the pitch here. This game needs to be called off.
Aye, I texted you just before they scored as well. I said, this game's going to stop.
I wasn't really getting a signal in the stadium. But on the way to the game, I've never been so drenched in all my life. I got to just around the corner for Hampden, just where the bowling club is, if you know where Hampden is, on the sort of far side. And I was walking down and it just started, like, torrential, monsoon conditions. And, as everyone always says, it was biblical. The rain was biblical last night. So anyway, I was walking along with Anna and get to the turnstile where I'm going in, And obviously people are like faffing about the turnstile because their phones are wet, and then if they've got paper tickets, they're all wet, and you need QR codes, code and yeah. all the rest of it. So it was a bit of a shambles. And the guy behind me really kindly put his umbrella above my head, and I was like, thanks very much, mate. And I turned around and I was like, but it's making no difference whatsoever. I took off my shoes last night and I poured the water out of my shoes inside the stadium. It was ludicrous. So anyway, the game started and they're all splashing around with their rubber ducks and everything. And I was like, no, this game can't go on. Then we scored and I was like, I think it'll dry up, you know. I think it'll be fine. There'll be no problems whatsoever. And then obviously once we scored, they took the players off. You were watching it at home, so yes. you were getting all the updates. We couldn't really hear what the announcer was saying, to be honest with you, because the crowd was, to be fair, it was a bit of a party time.
Yeah.
The DJ did a brilliant job with all the tunes and all the rest of it. But we couldn't really work out what was going on. We had no idea that Georgia were just refusing to come back out, for
sitting
example.
In the dressing room. They're sitting in the dressing room and UEFA had to go in and speak to them. Here's the thing, right? Just before that goal was scored, I texted you and I said, obviously you didn't see the message, I said, this game is going to get cancelled. It's going to get suspended. I can't see how they can play this game. And the Georgian manager had gone over and he pulled over Stevie Clark as well. And he was speaking to the fourth official, and you could tell that the Georgian manager, before Scotland scored, we can't play in this. This game needs to be stopped right now. And it was about 30 seconds to a minute later, we get the corner and we score.
Yeah.
So it's not that Georgia wanted the game to be stopped when the goal was scored. They were wanting it stopped before the goal had been scored. So here's my thing with the Georgia incident. They didn't want to play the game, and you can understand why. They're 1-0 down. They're upset the game carried on for the 6 minutes that it did. They wanted it stopped within minutes of it starting. And I think if Scotland had been in a similar position after 6 minutes and you're 1-0 down, we would have probably went, we don't want to play the game either.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I can understand why Georgia did that, but see when they got the pitch out to the to ready
by
and,
the way,
and playable, what a job.
Fair play to all the groundsmen. Oh. They were getting stewards in as well. They were getting the ball boys involved. Yeah. Fair play to everyone for getting that game on. It was unbelievable though, particularly in the first half, the Georgia goal mouth. They were sweeping it and I was just like, where's all the water coming from?
I know.
But they were sweeping it for ages.
An hour and a half.
Ages.
In the goal mouth.
And they still had water on it.
Yeah.
I think you said earlier on, was it 6 days worth of rain?
Sean Batty from STV Weather.
Weather aficionado.
Yeah, he tweeted that last night's rainfall over Hampden was the equivalent of 6 days on average.
Yeah, that's quite a lot of rain.
That's a lot of water. Think
and,
about that.
And I mean, think even,
it's basically like pouring a bucket, boom.
Exactly. I think, you know, people slag off Hampden, but I don't
nothing
think
to do Hampden.
Nothing to do with Hampden
hey,
last night.
Any opportunity for me to have a pop at Hampden, I'm taking it. You can't blame Hampden last night.
Nah, absolutely not. And fair play to all the staff that were on the pitch and sweeping it. I mean, they'll be sore this morning, the amount of brushing that we're doing. And I think I'm right in saying that there was probably about, I don't know, 7 or 8 people sweeping on the pitch. By the end, there was something like 30.
Yeah.
But they had to go across the B&Q.
By brushes.
And by brushes. I can only imagine somebody for the SFA running in and going, where are your brushes? Give me all your brushes. And then they just came back with like massive brooms. So
brand new brushes handed out to the ball boys and ball girls. And they
eventually worked it out as well. So there's a couple of things here. If you're sweeping water off a pitch, you're not using the brush the normal way because
no.
that won't work. You turn it upside down and use the wooden bit at the
correct.
Bottom and that pushes the water away. And then the ball boys took a wee while to get onto that, but I think they were getting some encouragement for the crowd and they eventually
yes.
got it. We're doing a great job. Secondly, when you go to referee school, how do you get taught about what happens when you're doing a pitch inspection? Is that something that happens? Do you have to bounce the ball? How high must the ball bounce?
Well, I was surprised that the referee, when on his first pitch inspection, didn't use a ball. He just ran round the pitch.
Yeah, totally.
Where's the ball? And he came off and he went, we're going to delay it for our 20 minutes. Mate, put the ball on the pitch, give it a kick, bounce up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came out for the second pitch inspection and you can literally hear the fans going, bounce a ball, bounce a ball.
No,
and
totally.
Then he came round to the other side and he went, oh, let me get a ball then. And he started rolling it. And when he rolled in, it rolled well. The fans were going, yay!
By the way, the atmosphere was great. It was what, an hour and
An hour and a half.
And the atmosphere was great. It wasn't sort of, and that would have been easy. And Steve Clark actually said this afterwards. It would have been easy for all the fans to go, "Ach, I'm away home.
I'm done."
The fans stuck to it as well. And every time the players came out to warm up, about three or four times, however many times it was, the reception that they got was fantastic as well. And I think that probably helped, because they would have been knackered. I mean, I was knackered just there watching it. So
do you know what came through loud and clear last night? The camaraderie between the players.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tight unit. They're all pally. They're loving what they're doing as well.
And that's another thing that Steve Clark, to take it back to the football just briefly, he's been big on that since the start, and that's why his squad selections are so consistent, and that's why guys like Kenny McLean, who you've said, what's he in the squad for, apart from scoring winners against Norway and stuff like that?
You need to stop that.
But the reason,
one moment doesn't justify
it does.
No,
you're saying Kenny McLean, that doesn't justify him being in the squad.
Can I ask you a question here? I want you to be brutally honest with me, right?
Yeah.
Be honest and upfront. Look me in the eyes when I ask you this question.
Okay.
We are 1-0 down against Norway, and he brings on Kenny McLean, Liam Cooper, and Billy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Right? Did you see the amount of people from the Tartan Army and Scotland fans across Scotland who tweeted at that point, what are you doing bringing on Kenny McLean, Billy Gilmore, and Liam Cooper when we're looking for a goal to equalise against Norway? Well, we're all thinking it. What are we doing bringing on Kenny McLean? You were thinking that as well, and don't tell me you were not, because you are.
I'll show you.
You're not going to show me nothing.
I am going to show you something.
Well, you're going to show me, because everyone was thinking it, and yeah, he pops up and he scores a winner. Brilliant. Steve Clark looks a genius, but generally speaking, when you're searching for a goal, you don't send on Kenny McLean.
So, in my group chat with me and my pals with Duff Family, we were obviously chatting about the game, watching it on Saturday. Can you just read the top message there from my mate Kirk? Can you see what that says?
What time is it on? Kenny McLean on at last.
Kenny McLean on at last. That was it. 1836.
Yes.
Okay.
We were still 1-0 down.
So I quote tweet that. Quote that message.
Yeah.
And then what did I say? The message below his one?
It's just gone off, mate.
There you go.
Where is that?
Top there.
The game has been crying out for him.
The game has been crying out for him, is what I said.
Okay, well, you're one of the very few. You're one of the very few that thought that Kenny McLean was the man to save the day.
So did I or did I not?
I've just read it.
So I've just read it. Now, what I might say at this point, I was being very sarcastic at that point.
So it was a hint of sarcasm.
There was a whole truckload of sarcasm with that. Because I was like, what's he doing bringing on Kenny McLean? We don't need Kenny McLean on. And then obviously he scored. But you know what?
A finish.
Great finish. And you know, that's happened with me at a Scotland game before. I was at Scotland, Georgia, funnily enough. And remember, it was 1-1 going
Craig
into the
Beattie.
Fight. And he took off Chris Boyd.
That's right.
It was Alex McLeish.
That's right.
He took off Chris Boyd and brought on Craig Beattie. I'm like, what's he taking off Chris Boyd for? I was like, if anyone's going to score, it'll be Chris Boyd. Chris Boyd scores all the time. Oh my God, it's Craig Beattie. Craig Beattie's just scored. We've won 2-1.
88 minutes, Craig Beattie, bang, 2-1.
And that's why we aren't football managers. So yes. Yeah, what I was going to say there, and I was just spearing you on Kenny McLean because it was funny, but he's tried to create a club-like atmosphere.
Yes, he has.
And that, part of that is choosing same players over and over and over again. And I think that that's really paying dividends now.
But it shouldn't come to the detriment of players who are in form. And I think when it comes to the European Championships, you can't be like what I think he was too loyal for the Euros last year. The likes of David Martin.
David Marshall.
Aye, him, the Hibs keeper.
Yeah.
Way too loyal. Craig Gordon's been our number one, etc. So I think there are some times where you have to make tough decisions, but you have to make those tough decisions for what is best for the team.
I agree. And hopefully he'll have learnt of that.
Yes, I think he will have. I think he will have, like he learnt from losing to Ukraine. So I think he has learnt from it. That was a shocking summer last year. Mm-hmm. And so when you go from last year to this year, he learnt from his mistakes.
It was the year before last, but I'll let you off.
No, it wasn't. It was last year.
No, it wasn't. Last year was 2022. The Euros were in 2021.
No, I'm talking about the horrendous summer of missing out in the World Cup.
I thought you were talking about the Euros.
Yes, no, the horrendous summer of missing out in the World Cup and then losing to Ireland.
Yeah.
And you're right, Stephen. He learnt from those mistakes, and that's good.
Absolutely. And we are heading to the Euros.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Also, big news this week, you may have seen Brendan Rodgers is back at Celtic.
Oh, we're meant to be phoning a Celtic fan that I promised to give a call to. Do I dial in his number?
Yeah.
He's ready for us.
All right, okay. Yeah, we'll get him on. Do you want to have a wee chat first and then we'll get him on? Or do you just want to chat to him?
No, just there's a number. There it is.
Okay.
Dan, can you dial that in while we have a wee chat about it?
Yeah, that's
He's
fine.
Expecting our call, so he knows that he'll know it'll be us. What an interesting appointment.
Very interesting appointment.
I mean, I think everybody expected it to happen or that he would be Celtic's prime choice out of everyone that was available. Here's my question to you, Stephen. He's obviously taken a step back, coming back to Scottish football. He needs to, I think it's fair to say, he needs to build up his reputation again. And Celtic is the club to build up your reputation because it's easier to win trophies and do well in Scotland than it is anywhere else. So is he using Celtic again as another stepping stone?
Maybe. I think that...
He signed a 3-year deal, though. It's not a rolling contract.
I think that Brendan Rodgers probably won't leave Celtic unless it's for a really, really big, big, big club now. He won't be going to a Leicester.
So you think it's top six club, like a Spurs or something, or...
Yeah, he's probably looked at the job that Ange's done and he's got the Spurs job. So he's like, well, you know, if Ange can get the Spurs job, there's no reason I can't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, I get there's obviously still a few Celtic fans, including many in the Green Brigade, who are not happy.
No, they still think he's a fraud.
With Brendan Rodgers coming back. But I'm going to take you back to February 2019 and Clyde One Super Scoreboard, the night that Brendan Rodgers left Celtic.
Disgusted. Everything he's achieved in the last 2 years, I think it's sullied by his actions today.
Absolutely disgusted with Brendan. He called Murrell's integrity into question at the weekend over the shenanigans over their goal. Where's Brendan's integrity?
I feel utterly betrayed. Absolutely betrayed. And to me, the man should hang his head in shame. Absolute shame. I'll never mention Brendan Rodgers in this house ever again, as far as I'm concerned. The man is gone from my memory.
So that's what happened on Clyde One Super Scoreboard the 26th of February, I think it was, 2019. That guy there won't be mentioning Celtic's new manager in his house, though, because Brendan Rodgers won't be mentioned in his house. So presumably he'll just refer to him as the Celtic manager or Brendan Rodgers.
See, the Celtic fan we're about to phone, he said, Brendan Rodgers is dead to me.
Yeah.
He's dead to me. And I say, you're going to come on the show and talk about the appointment of Brendan Rodgers, and you're going to take that back. So we'll find out in a couple of minutes. His name's Jerry Taylor.
Okay, let's call him right now, actually. We've got our...
He was actually on the podcast when you were off that week, and he was spitting feathers about Brendan leaving, and he was saying Andrew would never...
He's... Hello!
Hello!
Jerry!
Right, we are.
We're live on the podcast, mate.
I'm alive, right? No worries. I'm just nipping out the fire exit of the main sports day. And I'm fresh off the back of the Father's Day race. Just won.
You won the Father's Day race at the school sports day?
Won the Father's Day race, 40-year-old, smashed it.
Well done, I think well a round of applause.
Well done, Jerry.
Jerry,
the reason we've got you on today is because in March of this year, when Stephen Mill was off, you appeared on the podcast. Do you remember that day?
Unfortunately, I do remember that day, yes.
Yeah, and the audio of what you said is also on Twitter right now, and people are laughing at you.
They certainly are.
That his name cannot be mentioned, and that you were very upset and angry with him, and you said that Ange Postecoglou is your dad, and that you believed that he would not leave Celtic, and that he's got bigger things to think about in regards to Champions League, etc., etc., etc. Here we are, a few months later. Not only has Ange Postecoglou, your dad, left you, he's the man who is dead to you is now your manager.
Well, it's a tricky one. I mean, family's always, it's always going to be tricky, isn't it? I take back everything I said. I was lying. Brendan Rodgers is amazing. Ange Postecoglou is a prick. yeah, That's all I've got to say in the matter. I've actually written an article as well about how great Brendan Rodgers is.
What are you like, man? I mean, that is a football fan through and through.
I can see how Jerry's pals with you as well, Ewan, because he flip-flops just as much as you do. But in all seriousness, Jerry, I'm guessing, like, you know, all is forgiven and you're back on the Brendan Rodgers bandwagon, yeah?
I think I'm going to. I mean, you can't really tell. The fact, you know, to me, the making up was the fact that he came back. If he was as arrogant as everyone thought, then do you know what I mean? He'd be like, no, I'm not going back to that abuse. He obviously loves the club. I think the article I wrote the other day basically said, did Brendan Rodgers do Celtic a favour by leaving them? Because if he hadn't, we wouldn't have had the Ange factor for that while. We wouldn't have the Kyogos. We might not have the world record winning treble, and he wouldn't be back in a stronger position with the board than he is now, with a bigger transfer kitty, a longer contract. And I just think it was the best thing that could have happened. But at the time, yeah, I wanted to throw him out a window.
Jerry, you're such a hypocrite, man.
I know. Mate, but everyone does it right. I had my head buried in the sand with Brendan Rodgers. I said, I'm not going to do it with Ange. But with Ange, I had my head buried that far in the sand, I could see his house in fucking Australia. I'm half it, mate. So no more podcast for me next season.
Well done in winning the school sports day, Father's Race. And go pick up your medal. And thanks for speaking to us, my man.
Thanks for having this season, guys. You've been brilliant. Looking forward to it next year and can't wait for Clyde Super fucking scoreboard with you on it.
Oh, yes. We need to talk about that.
Cheers, bud.
Right, cheers, Jerry. Thanks
bye,
very
mate.
Much.
Bye.
There he goes. And that is Jerry Taylor. And he is the repentant Celtic fan. And I'm glad Jerry brought that up there, because you're hosting Clyde One Super Scoreboard, your annual outing.
Yeah,
you're
once,
getting let loose.
Once a year I get asked to host Clyde Super Scoreboard. So tomorrow night, Thursday night, 6 p.m, I will be on Super Scoreboard with one Gordon DL. Mm-hmm. And it's the day before Brendan Rodgers faces the Scottish media, because he's going to be unveiled officially on Friday. So tomorrow night will be an interesting show, because I've got a few questions I think that Celtic fans need to answer.
Okay, fair enough.
But I'm not going to give anything away. But I'm going
Can
to be
I
in
Can I give
with
you
my...
something to yeah. say?
You want me to say something?
Yeah.
What do you want me to say?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something really inflammatory.
And you need to actually ask me to do that?
Yeah, true. I might just ask you to say something normal.
But no, the thing is, right, I think unlike many in Scottish media circles, some tough questions need to be asked of Brendan Rodgers, and I don't think that the Scottish media will ask those questions, so I'll ask those questions tomorrow night.
Okay, fair enough. It's going to be an interesting listen.
The problem is there's too much of a clique in Scotland and they're all too scared to upset people.
Do you think Gordon DL's in the clique? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, because he's got pals in football that he doesn't want to upset. I think, generally speaking, most people who work in football are scared to say anything in fear of upsetting people. And I also think that people in the Scottish media, when facing a manager or a chief executive, are scared to ask the questions the fans want asking, because they don't want to ruin that relationship. So I think Brendan Rodgers will probably get an easy time of it unless somebody breaks rank and asks the questions that need to be asked of him. The fans think you're a fraud for the things that you said before you left Celtic. What do you say to them?
To be fair, he was asked about that when he went to Leicester, and his response was, well, he was like, I think he swore multiple times.
Well, I think he needs to be asked that again when he sat there with Celtic blazer on. Do you need to apologise to the Celtic fans? Do you apologise to Celtic fans? Are you going to do that here and now?
What Jerry said there was quite interesting, though, is on the face of it, it shows quite a lot of balls to come back to Celtic.
Oh, totally. I thought he might have knocked it back because of how it went when he left. I mean, the Celtic fans were spitting feathers. I mean, they were so upset. And I get it. Totally understand why they were upset with him. Similar to why they're upset with Ange Postecoglou. I totally get it.
As I said, I think it was last week or the week before, the reason that Celtic fans were so upset about why Brendan Rodgers left, obviously, they were saying, oh, he's going to Leicester. Leicester aren't as big a club as Celtic. And as you've said many times before, it's not about Leicester. It's not about Aston Villa. It's about going to the English Premier League. But the other thing that Celtic fans were so upset about was because he's actually a really good manager. And he won 7 trophies out of 7.
But he wasn't really tested.
Well, I mean,
He wasn't. Let's be honest with you. He's coming back to Celtic, where Rangers are far stronger side.
You would say that.
It's not that I would say that. I'm just saying what is clearly true.
Surely you're did you
see the team that Mark Warburton was playing with against Brendan Rodgers?
You're a big advocate of you can only beat what's in front of you.
That's my point. You can only beat what's in front of you, and what was in front of them was a pile of shite. And Brendan Rodgers got himself a decent record. He got himself a decent reputation, and now he's come scurrying back to Scotland because he failed down south.
Don't you dare look at me like that.
I know he won the FA Cup and he finished fifth in the Premier League.
Twice.
But wait, 80% of why Leicester in the Championship is because of him. So his reputation is in tatters. I'm not talking about what he did this season. See if his reputation wasn't in tatters, he doesn't come back to Celtic. There is no club in the Premier League knocking on his door. There's no team in the Premier League knocking on his door.
You're not telling me like a Crystal Palace or that wouldn't
doesn't matter. I'm telling you, no team is knocking on his door. Nah, he was available for Spurs, but Spurs decided to go and pay Celtic compensation for Ange Postecoglou because he's a bust flush as far as the English Premier League are concerned. So he's coming back with his reputation in tatters, and he's got to rebuild that reputation by coming back to Celtic. And the reason he chose Celtic is because it's easier for him.
So Brendan Rodgers is taking the easy way out.
He's taking the easy way out by coming back to Celtic. But what he doesn't know, it's not going to be as easy as he had it the first time around, because Rangers are in a far better position and have a better squad.
You know what you were saying there about, you know, he was up against Mintz and all the rest of it. Like, Ronnie Dyla was up against Mintz. Neil Lennon was up against Mintz. And he didn't, or they didn't do what Brendan Rodgers did. I mean...
What, win trebles?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your point?
My point is that I think you're underestimating how good a manager Brendan Rodgers is.
I'm not underestimating how good a manager he is. I just said you can only be what's in front of you, and he did a very good job when he was here at Celtic first time
around.
He
also did a very good job at Leicester. Let's
I just
be
said
honest.
That. He finished fifth twice in the Premier League and he won the FA Cup. But
reputation is in tatters.
Because of the season. That's my point.
Bad season, and that's it.
But Stephen, everyone looks at Brendan
Rodgers. Jurgen Klopp had Dortmund finishing ninth or something in the Bundesliga. Did that ruin his reputation?
Well, it did, because he took time out of football after it.
And then got the Liverpool job.
Yeah, and Liverpool, look at the mess they were in at the time, because Brendan Rodgers left us in an absolute state as well.
And then how did Klopp get on in his first season? Finished poor. Eighth or something?
Yeah, it was poor because...
And did that ruin his reputation?
Because the squad that he inherited was awful.
Yeah,
because Brendan Rodgers had done a poor job.
Rodgers, I think, has questions to answer over his transfer record and stuff like that. I think he's not very good at signing
players, but I think
Brendan Rodgers is inheriting a better squad than the one he left at Celtic.
Brendan Rodgers is not an elite manager. He's the next level down. He is a Leicester-type manager. He's a Crystal Palace-type manager. When he comes back to Celtic, he is going to do a good job here. I have no doubt about it, because you've only got one other team to beat in this league, and that's Rangers. My point is this. The Rangers he's facing now are way better than the Rangers team he faced when he was here. That's my point. He's going to not find it as easy as he did first time round. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's a bad manager. He's a great manager. He ain't an elite manager, but he messed up massively at Leicester in his final season.
Would you not also agree that the Celtic squad now is better than the Celtic squad he had then?
I thought the Celtic squad he inherited was not too bad.
No. I mean the Celtic squad that he left. But wait.
That squad that he left behind, did Neil Lennon not win a treble with that squad?
Yeah, he did.
Right,
yeah.
So it was clearly a decent squad.
I'm not saying it was a bad squad. I'm not saying that at all. But you're saying that the Rangers team then, or the Rangers squad then, was poor in comparison to now, which is true. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I totally agree with
totally
you.
True.
Totally true.
Mm-hmm.
But do you not think that the Celtic squad now is better than what Rodgers had the first time round?
100%. Because, and do you know why I think that Celtic squad today is better than what Rodgers left behind? Is because Ange Postecoglou's signings have been way better than what Rodgers were.
I agree with you.
So I think that he's very fortunate to step into a team that is so good and is easily the best team in Scotland. And as it stands right now, Celtic are red-hot favourites to win the league. I wouldn't put any money on Rangers winning the league as it stands right now. We're still to see what transfer business is to be concluded before the season starts. But as it stands right now, Brendan Rodgers not only wins the league, but there's every chance he'll win a treble. But that depends on what Rangers do in the transfer window and what strikers they bring in. So as it stands, I'm not calling it yet, but Celtic, as it stands, are treble winner favourites.
Okay, fair enough. We'll be back at the start of next season and we'll get you and Cameron's predictions, and you can bet on the opposite so you don't have to worry for yourself. Right, let's do our final. If Scottish football was a heat wave, so for example, we had barbecue Kevens, we had paddling pool Lambert, we had Tannadice lollies. Absolutely tons of suggestions this week, which means there were loads of good ones and loads of absolutely shite ones as well. So if yours doesn't get read out, now you know why. Remember to give us a follow at Big Football Scott. Yeah, get your mentions in there. Hello to Alan Till, who's a regular. Ki Sung Cream Young. Ki Sung Cream Young. No.
What cream? Sun oh, cream. Sun Cream.
Yeah. Somerset Park.
Yeah.
Back post says ex SFA chief executive Jim Fahrenheit.
Oh, Fahrenheit.
Yeah. Fahrenheit. Delirious Nobad says Tan Petrov.
Tan Petrov, yes.
Ali McMoist.
McMoist?
Mm-hmm.
What's that got to do with the summer?
Well, you might be moist in the summer because you're all sweaty.
Do you get moist?
I don't know. You'd get moist, yeah.
I don't get moist.
Do you not? Do you not sweat?
No, I do sweat.
Well, therefore you get moist.
Yeah, but it's just called sweat.
I know, but another way of describing that would be being moist.
But I don't like that word. It sounds quite... Ew. So do you get moist? Do you not sweat?
Yeah, I sweat, but therefore... I sweat, so therefore I get moist. I think it was Descartes who said that, actually, to be honest with you. George Burns says, Sunzu Angus Gunzu. Hosepipe Bandy Halliday.
Hosepipe Band, yeah.
John Bleasdale says, Kyle Taps Afferty.
Kyle Taps Afferty. Oh, these are so bad.
Michael Montagnani says, Gavin Sunning.
Uh-huh.
Still in sweat trough?
Is he moist?
RJ Damon says Sonny Aluko and Bertie Sunstrokes.
Bertie Sunstrokes?
Yes.
Oh, Bertie Vokes.
Bertie Vokes, uh-huh. Bertie Sunstrokes. Robin and many others saying Ice Lolly Menga.
Ice Lolly Menga, yeah.
Scott says Ali, an Ali McOyster and a 99 cone, please. Which is not bad. Simon says Factor Chifty.
Factor Chifty. Chifty, that Celtic striker.
Dundee United player, yeah.
Chifty? What's Factor Chifty?
Factor 50.
Oh, this.
See for next season. This is going to.
See, can we not just. I don't want to do this next year because I hate it. Because I don't know what you're talking about.
I know, but it's painful. And it's so painful that it's quite funny sometimes. And finally, the final one of the season, maybe ever, what Ricky said, James Forrest Fire. And Martin Boiling. So there you are.
James Forrest.
Who is the winner?
We'll get to the boy.
Just anyone.
Just get to the boy.
Yeah, I'll get to the boy. So we'll see if that comes back next season. We have our doubts. We do have our doubts.
I genuinely struggled with this all year.
You struggle with a lot of things.
Do you know what I do? I think we should come up with a new game for next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say next year. It's in 5 weeks' time.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that long to go. Yes. So we'll come up with a game.
Yeah. Are you going on holiday between now and then?
Do you know where I'm going? I'm going to Denmark. So I'm going to, is it Copenhagen or Hagen?
Copenhagen. I think is the traditional name. Aye. I mean, it's Copenhagen.
Aye. Because I think I went on a proper holiday when I did the stag do with Grado. Mm-hmm. I went to Vegas a few months ago.
You
so
did, yeah.
So we're going to Copenhagen, me
you're
and my
not,
wife.
You're not big on holidays, are you?
Nah, I'm not a big holiday guy, but when I do go, I like to go and properly relax. But this trip that I'm doing isn't really a relaxing trip because we're flying into Copenhagen. Mm-hmm. We're spending a couple of days in the Copenhagens.
Copenhagens. Yeah.
And we might go and see the mermaid. What's the mermaid's name?
The Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah, her. Well, we might go and see
exactly.
her.
Exactly. And that's written by who, famously?
Is it Roald Dahl?
No. No, he was Welsh. Never mind. Of Danish descent, though, I think, to be fair.
It was
Norwegian descent. Sorry.
What's the guy?
He's got three parts to his name. Go for it.
What's it? The Hans guy. Hans Christian Andersen.
That's the one. Well
right,
done.
So yep. I might go and see the mermaid. But anyway, I'm only there for 3 days because on the...
Well, you've got plenty of time to see a mermaid then. Yeah. You just need to go and look at it. That'll take 10 minutes of your time, really.
Yeah, but I've got 2 days to fill then, haven't I? Unless
exactly.
I've seen the mermaid. Right,
well, you've got probably...
So after I've seen the mermaid and we'll do something else in Copenhagen, we'll then get a train and we're going up to Gothenburg.
In Sweden.
We're going to Sweden. So we're
getting Gothenburg is beautiful.
Right. I've never been. So we're getting a train from Copenhagen mm-hmm. and then we're going up to
Gothenburg.
And that's a 3-hour train journey. I'm actually looking forward to the train journey because I think it might be quite beautiful going through the two different countries. So we're doing that. And the reason we're going to Gothenburg.
We're going to Gothenburg
mm-hmm. is because we bought tickets to go and see Coldplay at the Ullevål Stadium.
Where Aberdeen famously won the Cup Winners' Cup in 1983.
So that's where we are heading on the second day of our trip to Gothenburg.
And where Dunfermline famously were defeated by BK Häcken in the 2007 UEFA Cup qualifier.
Well, I'll be sat there watching Coldplay and then a couple of days in Gothenburg and then we get Gothenburg and then we get the train back to Copenhagen and then we fly back home. So yeah, that's my holiday next month.
Okay.
I'm only a week.
A Scandinavian adventure.
I'm only going for a week. I'm flying on the Sunday and I'm back on the Friday, so I'm still here for the football summer show.
You're going to be going to the steam rooms and everything. They like that in Scandinavia.
I'm not a steam room guy. I don't like saunas. I'm not into that at all. I find that quite weird.
Nah,
I'm not into that at all. Are you into a sauna? I'm not into that.
I don't like sitting with other naked people.
But that's my point. I mean, I'm not really into that. I mean, sitting there in a sauna.
Moist.
Getting very moist.
Extremely moist.
Some people get more moist than others. And sometimes they wear a white towel. Sometimes they just let the white towel flop.
Yeah.
Either side of them, and they open up their legs, and then everything is there to be seen.
You can see the moist.
You can see the moist, yes. Yeah. You can see what they've had for breakfast.
Yeah, the crevices.
Yes. And yeah, so no, it's not my scene, mate.
Cool.
But I do like a Swedish massage.
I don't even know what that
is. My wife is a trained masseuse.
Okay.
She went to college in Livingston to train to be a masseuse.
the worldwide centre for masseuse. Livingston, of course.
So yes, my wife went
World renowned. Where did you train? Livingston. Fucking hell. Livingston, yes.
So she's a trained Swedish massage masseuse.
What's the difference between a normal massage and a Swedish massage?
I wouldn't know because my wife's never given me one.
She's not even like trying to do it on you?
Nah. She got the bed and everything. You know what she did? You know what she did? Right, so my wife trained to be a masseuse, right?
In Livingston.
And she got her qualifications. And I didn't get any fucking massage, right? Because, nah. What she did was she set up a little business in the spare room that we had. So she bought the bed and everything. So people were just wandering into my house to go upstairs to get a massage from my wife and the door would be shut. And I just hear this, I was like, what is going on in there? Can you film that for me?
I mean, if it's noises like that, Ewan, have you had an honest conversation with your wife?
She'd done it for a year. And she also did fake tans at the same time. So you get a massage and then she'd fake tan you.
Right.
So we were kind of getting good money for that.
You use fake tan quite a lot, don't you?
No, I use a tinted moisturiser, which gets you very moist. Full circle.
There we go. And I think that's a lovely note to end on.
Yes.
A moist, tanned Ewan Cameron. And that is a wrap for episode 46 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill. He's Ewan Cameron. Thanks for joining us. And thank you for joining us for the last year as well. In the meantime, you can go back and listen to all 46 episodes.
They're all shite.
If you're off your rocker and you've got nothing else to do, then you can do that. But we will be back for a new season of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. End of July, I think. Start of August, something like that. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review despite the content of the podcast. Get your tweets in and we'll be back next time at the usual time, probably on Monday, for the new season of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Cheerio.
Cheerio.